And welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 124, recording January 25th, 2021. Let's see, we've got some Microsoft news to discover or to talk about. We've got RE8 discoveries and trailer reveals. Godzilla versus King Kong is upon us, gentlemen. We've been playing games. We've been watching Marvel Cinematic Universe spinoffs. I'm sure that there'll also be tangents galore, as there often is. My name is Zach Anderson, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Shannon Moore. Shannon.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm lovely. How about yourself?
Well, I'm a little pissed off, but you know, we'll get there in a little bit.
All right. And the person you're most likely pissed off at, Mr. Justin Time Carter. Justin,
this fucking guy. Like, I don't even know. He doesn't even get a chance to talk. Like, oh my God, you set my world on fire. You did the one thing that I asked you not to do, and you done fucked up. You just pissed in my Wheaties. Like, what the hell? Like,
all right.
I need to play this game. It's on your guys' like top 10 of the year, and like, oh my God, you guys gotta play this game. Shannon, you gotta get on this game. Okay, you know what? I go out and I got a computer that I can actually like enjoy playing this game on. And what did you do? What did you do, Justin? What did you do?
So for context, so this guy, before,
like, oh, see, here we go. Like, Shannon, yeah. Zach sits just there, and he's like, you know, oh, the ending of Bugsnax. It's freaking great, right? 1,000-yard stare. I'm like, what the hell? Justin, you know, can't be disturbed with, I don't know, his fucking 20 dogs and, like, I don't know what he's doing at home. Like, you know, at work, whatever he calls a job. He sits there, he can't be bothered to look at who's on the text message thread. And sits there and freaking just, you know, spoils the whole ending for me. Like, gives away all the twists, gives away what happens. My jaw, oh my God. Like, just, oh, like, I don't even know what to say, Justin. And then your response was, in all honesty, I didn't even look to see who was on the thread. Like, you talk, like, have all these conversations without me, like, all the time. What am I? I'm just sitting here, like, chopped liver, like, the freaking anchor on this freaking podcast. I swear to God, Jesus Christ, God. Whatever, Justin, you just take over. You could just talk about your side of the story for a minute.
So anyway, Justin is on a like 10-year-old Android phone, so it's possible that he literally didn't see it.
Okay, the Note 8 isn't that. At least it's not the Galaxy Note that, like, you know, you couldn't bring on a plane because it blows up. This one at least hasn't blown up. So yes,
yeah, you have the model after that one.
Yeah. So they fixed it, right?
I guess. I don't know.
So yeah, you know, Zach, after I hadn't heard anything from Zach about him beating Bugsnax. So I had messaged him the other day because he had texted me before when he was playing Bugsnax. And I was like talking with him a little bit about it. And he was telling me kind of where he was at in the game and asking how much further he had and certain questions about it. And that was a side conversation solely between me and Zach. So then Zach beat Bugsnax, and he sent a text, and I just assumed I saw Zach's name that, you know, it was just the side conversation that I was having with Zach about Bugsnax, not realizing that it was in the That Pixel Life group text chat with Shannon and Robbie in it. And I didn't give away everything, Shannon, but I did give away some key details about the end of Bugsnax, and then Shannon was like, what the fuck? And as soon as I saw that message, I looked up and realized there was other people on it. I was like, uh-oh. Like, oops. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, to be fair, first off, Shannon, don't have your feelings hurt, your little fifis hurt, over me not texting you to talk about a game you're not playing. So sorry about that, first off. Secondly, Justin, like, literally gave away just a piece of that. Like, dude, that ending. I won't go into more details, Shannon, but holy crap, you guys. Like, it is one of those, that game ends, and you are sitting there just staring at the credit screen for minutes going, like, what the hell just happened? Like,
unless you're Justin and then you're looking for somebody to text so you can spoil the fucking ending.
So my question for you though, Zach, now that you've beat it, if you could have put it on your game of the year list, where would you have put it?
I mean, it would have been low. It would have been low on my game of the year list. It probably in that 8-7 range, because while I really loved the story of Bugsnax, catching Bugsnax got old. Like, mechanically, that game kind of overstays its welcome a little bit. You know, like, I don't really feel the draw to go, like, catch them all, you know, a la Pokemon. but the narrative of Bugsnax is would make it on that list just by itself. Because, like, I'm not kidding. That last 20 minutes turns the game on its head. And all of a sudden, you are just like, what is happening? Holy shit. Like, I've got to run. I've got to do all this. I've got to do all that. Like, all these new mechanics get thrown at you in the last, like, 10 minutes. And you're like, wait, what am I supposed to even do? Like, I don't, but yeah, it's nuts. And I really appreciate it. I would play the hell out of a Bugsnax, too. I'm just telling you that right now.
Yeah, I just love the characters so much. Like, yeah, there's still times where I, like, sit at work and I think about Philbo and, right? Like, some of the other people, and I'm just like, oh, they were so good. They were my friends for the longest time.
Totally. I'm all about Philbo. I like what's his name? The bro dude, the lifter.
Oh, dude. The basketball dude.
yeah, I like him a lot. The fake hippie lady is really Shelda. She's really fun.
The farmer dude, as soon as he came on screen and was talking, Megan was like in the room when I started, but she's like, dude, that is your fucking dad. And I was like dying. Cause I'm like, yeah, he is like the like old kind of, it's like, oh, in the farm, like asshole kind of guy. And I'm like, yep, that's my father right there.
Sitting there trying to grow catch-up plants in the middle of the Phoenix desert, you know?
Like, so you say you're coming from a long line of assholes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what he's saying.
Cool.
They grow those assholes tall out there in Arizona.
Speaking of which, dude, it's been like piss pouring rain all week. Like, the high was like 45 today.
That's supposed but yet, to start, you're still in a tank top.
Well, yeah, because I got tattooed. So because of that, I don't want to wear. Well, I also got like this retouched up and stuff. So sleeves. I had to go to the store today and I had to put on a jacket and I was like, is my arms dragging on the inside of the sleeve.
Did you at least wrap the tattoo first so you didn't mess up the inside of your jacket?
Well, I got, yes, like it's not Uzi or anything anymore. I always leave the plastic wrap on overnight the first night and just let all the plasma and shit leak out everywhere and then wash it off in the morning and it's usually good.
Ah, yes, that day after shower. All the sludge, it so burns.
Dude, but I also, where I was mainly going with the rain was, so since I've lived at this house, the trees in the front yard have never been trimmed. So it's like they've just been growing for 4 years to the point where it's like the branches are touching the ground because of the sheer weight of all the crap on it. And I finally had someone come. Like, they came on the door, because every time, dude, a landscaper drives by, my yard's, like, their wet dream, and they, like, they want to do it so bad, because it's just so fucking overgrown, like, they're like, dude, this is a payday and a half, and I always, like, either don't answer the door, or, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll call you, and never call them, so this dude came up and was like, yeah, dude, I'll do both these trees and get all these leaves, and I was like, dude, all right, done. And so he did it. My yard looks so nice. And then it rained and shit. And I have neighbors that have nothing but pine trees in their yard. And now it's just dead leaves and pine tree needles and shit all over my yard that was literally clean yesterday. I'm like, God damn it.
Man, you're going to have to go do some work. It's a bummer.
Yeah. And then Shannon sitting there like, yeah, that's what you deserve, you stupid bitch. I hate you, God.
Honestly, I was just like, I don't give a fuck.
That's what he'd be saying if he wasn't chewing his nails, but, you know.
I'm not chewing my fucking nails. I have my clippers right here. I just tripped them all. Thank you very much. Dick. Oh. Dick.
But, yeah, the torrential rains are supposed to start here tomorrow in the Bay Area, so.
So it'll be
I saw a forecast where it's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're expecting 5 inches of rain in the next 2 days, which does not happen in the Bay Area. So that'll be good times. Good times. 10 inches if you're up in the mountains. They're evacuating like Santa Cruz and all this stuff. It's crazy. 2021 keeps the ball rolling. Anyway, little news, gentlemen. Did you see the kerfuffle that was Microsoft, who came out, I believe it was Monday, and said, or maybe it was over the weekend. Yeah, no, it was Friday, I think, that came out and was like, hey, by the way, Games with Gold is getting doubled to $120 for a year subscription of Games with Gold, or Xbox Live Gold, or whatever the hell they call it now. And then it was like, or, you know, just go to get a Game Pass $15 a month account, and that's a better option. And it was obviously a move on their part to get people to jump to Game Pass and make that move, and you know, all roads lead to Game Pass for Microsoft, obviously. But man, people reacted very strongly to the fact that Microsoft was doubling the price on Xbox Live Gold, and they very sheepishly, a few hours later, released a statement in a blog post that said in part, quote, "We messed up today, and you were right to let us know. Connecting and playing with friends is a vital part of gaming, and we failed to meet the expectations of players who count on it every day. As a result, we have decided to not change Xbox Live Gold pricing." So, one of the few times where internet bullying works, they decided to shift course, go back to the original pricing. Oh, by the way, they are also extending an olive branch that they are no longer going to charge for free-to-play games to work on Xbox Live Gold. Before, you needed Xbox Live Gold to play online, but they are getting rid of that requirement for free-to-play games. What are your guys' thoughts? I thought this was pretty hilarious. As someone that has a Games Pass subscription and isn't really affected by this at all, I thought it was pretty damn funny. Justin, did you have a thought about this?
I mean, to be fair, this is in Xbox's wheelhouse, because I mean, the same shit happened when they announced the Xbox One and said there wasn't going to be a disc drive, and everyone lost their shit at Xbox, and they're like, all right, guys, we'll give you the disc drive. Like, we're sorry.
Oh, did I say there wasn't going to be a disc drive? I meant there's going to be all the disc drives.
We'll do two disc drives just for you guys.
I mean, Shannon, you have a Game Pass subscription now, so it doesn't really affect you. Did it strike you funny like me? Like, they were like, oh, never mind. Literally within like 3 hours.
This is more of Microsoft being Microsoft. To kind of Justin's, tip, they did say, you know, they're the king of coming out with something and then reneging on it later. But with the services that they have, it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to figure out a way to bolster their income stream a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, to me, if you're going to have two different subscriptions, come up with some type of added bonus as to why we're going to be paying more for this other subscription.
No, that's a very good point. Because to me, I think you're right. I think the move would be, hey, if you have a Live Gold subscription, it's now a Games Pass subscription.
Mm-hmm.
We're rolling everything over to Game Pass, and you can continue if you want to. If not, it's going to end when that subscription ends, but that's it, period. Mm-hmm. Like, just kill that program entirely. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I don't understand why they haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you don't have value to the program, it's just a non sequitur at this point. I mean, you're basically a chump if you buy that package. they're looking for an answer, and I think they don't have a good strategy for it yet. Yeah. It was dumb, and Microsoft just continues doing brain dead things.
It also strikes me as something that I would say is a little pandemic related, because it strikes me as a move when no one is in an office together and no one can actually talk about these things that gets greenlit by like a group of people And they're like, yeah. Kind of the, remember the Halo Infinite thing? One of those, like, no, it looks great. And then as soon as it gets out of the echo chamber and into a bigger pool and into the real world, people are like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh, sorry. Oh, God, my bad. I didn't mean that. We're rolling that back. That was
You're like, this is an Office 10 real world 5, you know?
Totally. Perfect. Yes. It's just one of those things where, like, I think if those conversations are getting held in a standard campus meetings with 50 people as we go over these options, you know, like where someone's in the front of a boardroom giving presentations to in a school type setting, all of that normal stuff, you're going to get a lot of feedback of people going like, yeah, no, why would anyone do that? That's horrible. Like, you know, and I think when it's 5 to 10 people sitting on a Zoom meeting and they're all telling each other how great they are, like this is the result that happens, you know?
Yeah. You know, the one thing the pandemic did is I think it broadened a lot more of the video game ecosphere to people who don't play video games. And I think right now is the time where you don't want to do a scumbag move, like double the price of one of your subscriptions.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, you just created, like, the pandemic basically created a revenue stream that you had trouble breaking into. It kind of did the work for you. And here you are biting that hand that feeds you by doubling the cost. It's just, I don't know. It just reeks of scumbaggery.
They're like, oh, you can't get a PS5 for $500? Well, you can get Xbox Live for $120.
Yeah. They're like, wait, no, I don't. That's not a good wait. That's a horrible idea. But yeah, no, I agree with Shannon that the move is just scrap gold. And everything's a Game Pass now. If you have a gold subscription, it's Game Pass now. We'll give it to you at a discount until it renews. I don't even care. Everyone has Game Pass. And just, yeah, make it go away. That's the move. Like, that's the move, you know? I mean, who knows? Maybe internally that, because you do have 100 games there. Everyone's getting paid a piece, I'm assuming, of the 100 games that are on there. So maybe that financially just, they can't do that. Maybe there's just too many gold subscribers that you would now have to shell out money to developers for, but I don't know. But don't let anyone create a new account at this point. Like, even if it's just, yeah, no more live accounts. It's everything is a Game Pass account. Just, and when they die, they die. Like, something, you know, like, but I know how to fix this problem. We'll just make the cost ridiculous, and then no one will sign up for it. Everyone will just get Game Pass. That's just stupid. Like, just turn it off, you know? Like, I don't know. Oh, Microsoft. Well, let's talk about something that I guess is coming to Xbox. Oh, yes, it is. Xbox, PC, PlayStation 5. On the 21st, there was the Resident Evil 8 Spectacular, where they showed off the latest trailer. With, as I said last week, most gamers' biggest nightmare, a large, powerful woman, and a bunch of new tidbits was released. It's going to be releasing May 7th, 2021. And the demo came out, but only for PlayStation 5. Wah, wah. Why am I saying wah wah? Because I haven't been able to get a PlayStation 5 since fucking November. God damn it.
Did you try it recently? I saw that Wario64 up on Twitter was throwing up.
You know what? Fuck Wario64. Fuck Wario64. Yeah, everyone tells me that. Oh, did you just follow Wario64? Guess what? 3 seconds after the link goes live, it's fucking dead. Every fucking fuck him. You know what? Like.
You heard it here first, man. TPL, take it on Wario64.
Yeah. Host of popular podcast Zach Anderson swats Wario64 in rage shit tantrum.
Apologies to Wario 64. You did nothing wrong. I'm just very frustrated at the process. I'm sure you're a very nice person. No offense. But no, fuck all that. Like, bullshit. I'm trying. My wife's trying. Got browsers open. Tabs fucking everywhere. Guess what?
Get a fucking PlayStation 5. I got dicked hard by the Best Buy app. I don't know why. I can buy anything I want on the app. No problems. I'm always logged in. I have my credit card on file with them. I can buy flat screen TVs. I can buy my computers. I can buy anything I want. No problem. You hit the click, you hit buy button, add to cart, boom, done. Like it just deducts it from my card. I don't know why every time I go to line up in the queue or to try to get a PlayStation 5 when they have them, why this dumbass app gets amnesia and drops all of my card information out or like just logs me out of the app so that I can't even get back into, you know, buying what I want to buy fast. Like it's happened every time. And then like, you know, and then I click on it and it says, oh, something's gone wrong. Let's direct you to PayPal so you can pay for it there. And then I go to PayPal and PayPal's like, I don't know what the hell is going on with Best Buy's app. I don't know why they sent you here. Yeah. And then like I go back to Best Buy's app and I'm like, you dumb piece of shit, like figure this out. And then they were like, oh, it's all sold out. Sorry.
Yep.
Happens every time.
Yep. It's the worst.
I'm so jilted by this experience. Like I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, other than maybe Horizon and I don't know, maybe one or two other games, I'm not really hyped for the PlayStation 5. Like I have a brand new computer that I would rather just play all my games on now. And it's awesome. So
see, I say that. I'm with you. I have one too. But I want to play this demo.
You see, that's the only difference between you and me is I don't want to play this demo.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair, I guess. But
Shannon didn't even watch the 2-minute trailer. He was like clipping his fingernails instead, trying to do anything but look at the screen.
I know.
I was watching the screen. I mean, like you said, I mean, I just didn't want to, you know, there's a healthy balance between, I didn't want to create a new fetish. That's all I'm saying.
Shannon, we watched you watch the trailer. You were looking down more than you were looking up.
I saw enough of the trailer, dude. Like, I wasn't scared or anything. I just, you know.
I've sat next to my son when he's watched scary things. I know how it works. You just look down. So you're not looking
Those are the sad ones, so people don't see you crying.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I, for one, welcome our 7-foot-tall vampire waifu overlords.
Is she a vampire? Because she has a reflection in the trailer.
Yeah, and she's got some, like, really long-ass stretchy claws. Well, I mean, I don't know. That could just be a myth.
I mean, maybe, because that's the thing running. Okay, so in the trailer, you get introduced to the monstrous lady of the castle, who's not really all that monstrous. She's just huge. And I keep seeing, like, vampire, but she has a reflection, so I don't know about that. I mean, she's off-putting. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying, like, she seems like a bundle of joy. Let's hang out. But I'm not getting a vampire vibe from her.
Why can't she just be like a succubus or something? I mean,
maybe. I mean, she's talking about rituals, mm-hmm. you know, and or all a lich. That stuff. So yeah, maybe witchcraft, succubus, all that,
or,
all that.
Or a lich, like, you know, undead, huh? Undead sorcerers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Necromancy perhaps might be in play. Everything's on the table. But this game looks awesome.
Who is the dude with the big ass hammer at the end? Is he like Van Helsing? Is he a werewolf? Like, who's he?
I don't know. Did you know who that was, Justin?
No. That's what's funny too. It's kind of like at the end of that trailer, you know, they made it seem like it was like some big, or like, you know, it's like, oh, like it's Dante. Like, you know, at the end, like that you're supposed to know who this person is. But mm-hmm. I was like, dude, he's like wearing sunglasses and looks all like old and shit. So I was like. I was like, if he's supposed to be somebody from the franchise, like, I couldn't fucking tell who it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, fucking Wesker or something standing at the end.
I thought it was, you know, this appears to be the showcase for their new engine, the RE engine. And this game looks stunning. I mean, it really looks impressive to everything that looks like gameplay that they're running through, like, it's I'm just so hyped for it. Like, it's one of those that looks like they've learned a lot of lessons, you know, and are putting them to use. So,
well, I mean, you say they've learned their lessons, but it seems to me like they're following the same formula as they did in 7, where, like, you start out in something that is not traditionally a Resident Evil setting, and then somehow they pigeonhole zombies into the storyline. So, you know, how long into this game do you think it is before they break out into their traditional mold of now you're killing zombies?
Well, I mean, in 7, that really didn't happen until, I mean, kind of like the last hour and a half of the game. Like, and honestly, it's one of the things in 7 that bummed me out was when it turned into a Resident Evil game. It was like, oh, like, it's like with the last boss encounter and all that shit, like, was 100% just Resident Evil. And it was just one of those, like, oh, that's such a bummer, because you did so much cool stuff up until the time it turned into Resident Evil, you know? But, and so by the look of this, though, it seems very similar to 7 in that regard of, like, you know, there's areas to explore. It seems like you're going to be limited ammo-wise. There's the first-person aspect, which is back. I'm just hoping they stay away. Now, to your point, in the trailer, there are also the zombies shambling at you, you know. But those encounters could, like in 7, when you're first in the mansion, were really tense and really cool. Like, when you're in the basement of the mansion, those zombies shambling at you were terrifying. You know, like, they were really scary encounters because they used them very sparingly. You know, it wasn't like playing RE2 Remake or RE3 where it's like you round the corner and it's like, well, all right, unload 3 clips, clack, 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 clack. You know, it wasn't like that. It was like, oh, you have a stick and there are 3 of these guys coming at you. You better find the exit. You know, like, it was more
and
like
they
that.
Are fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was those type of encounters really worked in that setting. And so those are the things I'm hoping we get more. Like, I mean, Justin, what your thoughts? Because, like, it seems like they're pushing a narrative, which is other part with 7 that I really liked. It was like, it got away from the RE bullshit and just was like, oh, here's a cool monster house story. Like, here's a big bayou mansion with monsters. Go. You know, and it was a fun story in that regard. And, like, this one seems to have that, we're going to tell a real twisted European fairy tale, you know, and we're dropping you in the middle of it and go. And I'm hoping that's what they do. Like, I mean, Justin, would you back me up on that? That was one of the cool things from 7 was they got away from the regular Resident Evilness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, after so many, like you said, after, like, so many games, like 2 and 3, like, whatever, it's like, you know, the same very similar formula. So it was like especially after the disappointment that 6 was, where it's like they were like, oh, let's just take the formula and, like, turn it into, like, Gears of War, and everybody hated it. But yeah, like, I loved 7. Like, the house was genuinely creepy. And that's part of the things is it's like, I feel like in, you know, 2 and 3 and even 4 have, like, a lot of jump scares that they really, like, depend, like, that's what scares, like, ah, like, zombie in your face. Whereas the scariest parts of 7 are the parts where nothing is happening. Like, yeah. When you're walking in the house and it is dead silent, like, that is the scariest fucking part, is the anticipation of, you know, something's gonna happen. Like, something bad is waiting around the corner. And then they, like, build it up, and then nothing happens. And then when it finally does happen, it scares the shit out of you.
Or when you're in the back house and you hear the mom, like, skittering around.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
Like,
yeah, that was the worst. And you have no ammo, and she's like, you shoot at her, and she, like, dives out the window, and you're like, what the fuck was that? Like, right. I need health ASAP. And that's kind of, like, what I felt, which I played the demo. I was lucky enough to be the only person on the podcast that got to play the demo. And so I'll talk about that in the weekly consultation, since that's one of the few things I actually played this week. But like the vibes I got from it were very much, it's like they were like, what if we took Resident Evil 7, combined it with Resident Evil 1, and then mixed it with like PT and Layers of Fear, is like the feeling I got from the demo. So I'm pretty hyped for it. And I do hope they do kind of steer away from like zombies, a T virus and V virus and whatever, and just kind of go straight more like, you know, kind of like fantasy and like wool and this like really weird like creature, like very very Bloodborne-ish is kind of like more the direction I'm hoping it's going. It's just like really fucked up like Lovecraft creature looking shit.
The existential horrors of it all.
By
the way, Shannon, those were all, everything Justin just mentioned were games. You probably haven't played any of them, but those were all games.
Thank you. It sounded like gargling for a minute.
You looked a little confused for a second.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought he was speaking another language. I wasn't clear. Thanks.
Well, I guess I'll keep following Wario 64 because I need to get a PlayStation 5 by the time May 7th rolls around. So hopefully, but that's when this game drops.
Yeah, but you can get it on the Xbox, right? So that means you can get it on your PC.
Yeah, but I'm going to want to play this on the console, you know?
I will say, too, that I thought that was a bold move on their part, too, still after the kerbuckle that was Cyberpunk, that they're still rolling with the PS4. I mean, it's probably not nearly as, like, I guess, like, intensive or whatever as Cyberpunk on, like, the old-gen, like, consoles and stuff. Since, I mean, they got 7 and stuff to run, it looked fine, but it's like, man, I was like, when are they going to... I'm surprised they kind of haven't cut the cord yet on, like, all right, well, we're not making any more stuff. I am assuming it's just because it's so hard to get a PlayStation and stuff still that they probably just feel bad cutting it off at this point.
And probably when they started developing it, those are the things I'm interested for 2022 games, because those are going to be the ones that were made with, like, we never intended for this to come out on a PlayStation 4, you know, like 100% all the way in. And I mean, just looking at these trailers, I can't picture playing it on an Xbox One or PlayStation 4. Cause it's like, it's not going to look like that. And that game looks amazing. And it's like, I have to see that as God intended, or Capcom, you know, like, I don't want to put the blinders on.
I want them to roll out the PlayStation VR 2 or whatever at this fucking... Like, I want to play 8 in VR. Like, I never got to play 7 in VR, but I've heard it's amazing. So it's like, dude, I want to play 8 in VR, but Sony's still figuring it out.
Well, I think they're trying to figure out if it's worth the money to make more VR, you know? But yeah, so speaking of trailers, can we talk about one more that dropped?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can. Godzilla versus Kong dropped on Sunday, and it was fire. Holy crap. I mean, the first King Kong movie, I think, is the hottest of garbage. The Jack Black King Kong movie, I think it's the biggest steaming pile of bullshit this side of Wonder Woman. but Skull Island? Fun as hell. Like, if you were like me and passed on Skull Island because the Jack Black King Kong just really hit you in all the wrong ways, you know, having a movie called King Kong and then having an hour and a half of no King Kong, nah, ain't cutting it. Go watch you some Skull Island, because that movie fucking rips, dude. Like, that thing is so good. It's like, there's dinosaurs and crazy shit and like King Kong and guns and just it's awesome. Like,
are you King Kong with guns?
He might as well have guns at that point. Like, it's like the biggest, like, hey, you know what would be rad? More. It's like anytime they made a decision in that movie, it was like, why don't we just put more in? How about more shit? Can we squeeze some more things in here? And it's glorious. It's awesome.
And it has like a banger of a cast, man. Like it has Loki in it, it has Samuel Jackson, it has a Dr. Steve Brule. Like
it was one of those things where I totally passed on Skull Island when it first hit, because like again, I wasn't a fan of the first movie, and everyone I talked to was just like, "What? No, go see that. Go right now. Like, why are you not watching it now? Like, just rent it. Like, what's wrong with you?" And finally enough people told me that I did watch it and was like, oh god, I've never been more wrong. This movie is so fun. And then so, you know, WB had a bunch of success with the Godzilla relaunch and then Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is stunning to look at. Like, that movie kicks a whole lot of ass. And finally, we get two great tastes that taste great together. Godzilla versus Kong. Let's go. Your thoughts on the trailer, gentlemen?
I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a clear line in the sand. You're either Team Godzilla or you're Team King Kong. I think the most divisive thing is going to be, where do we fall on this spectrum? Because I think I'm Kong all the way. I know you two are just going to be all about Godzilla.
Well, I'll save mine for the end. Justin, what's yours?
I mean, I'm Team Godzilla all the way. That's my boy.
Dude, he's so OP though. Like, I mean, you're gonna sit there. I mean, he's got lasers that shoot off of his back. He's got like his fire breath.
He gets his ass kicked all the time. Like, what are you talking? In King of Monsters, he got his ass fucking beat by fucking King Ghidorah, dude. Like,
but dude, he just comes straight out of the ocean and just demos that boat pretty hard. And
yeah, like, dude, he's huge.
Yeah. And like King Kong, I mean, like, does he know how to swim? I mean. We're going to find out, I guess, right?
I mean, they made King Kong pretty damn big, by the way. I think King Kong just stands up when he gets in the water. He's like, oh, it's fine. The ocean's just like at his waist. He's just that big, you know? So my thing is, I watched this trailer with my son. Hype levels have never been higher for any property in this house. Like, it's just, you can't imagine how hyped my 7-year-old is for this movie. And this is like his exact summation of the trailer. It ends. He looks at me and he goes, so I think King Kong's going to protect the girl. And then Godzilla's going to end up protecting both of them when they figure out who the real bad guy is, because neither one of them are bad guys. And I was like, well, I mean, that's a really good guess. But I mean, King Kong and Godzilla are fighting. And my kid goes, it's Kong. There's only one king. The king of monsters, Godzilla. And I was like, oh, all right. Jeez. I will mind my pronouns, sir. Good lord. I
mean, as long as both of them are beating the crap out of each other, and then one of them goes, Martha, and the other one goes, what did you say? I'm fine. Like, yeah. I mean, just stay away from that.
I did love all the memes where it was Godzilla or King Kong says Mothra. And they're like, why did you say that name? I thought that was great.
But yeah, I mean, like, so basically it's the humans are like, we brought Godzilla out of containment or whatever, and we don't know why he's pissed off, but he's pissed off and we can't contain him. And then at the same time,
the last two movies, Godzilla's like been on the Earth's side. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's been like, yeah, I'll kick these Titan's ass for you, no problem, I got this.
Yeah,
so but it's now, weird, it's yeah, weird so to now, have him be like, yeah, let's smash some cities. Like, wait, no, that's weird.
Yeah, so he's just like, what the hell's going on? Humans are like, what the hell's going on? And then at the same time, they got this, you know, girl who has shown kindness to King Kong, and then King Kong is like, okay, I'm gonna protect this little girl. And then basically Godzilla's like, this boat's in my way, I'm going to mess it up. And King Kong's like, no, you're not, because like this girl's on it and I'm going to basically kill whoever tries to mess up this boat. And then Godzilla's like, well, I messed up your boat, what are you going to do? And then they basically fight, right?
And then Godzilla's like, so I messed up your boat, what are you going to do?
Seabass, that one was for you. Sorry, I messed up your boat. So yeah.
I was like, one of my other favorite parts, though. Oh, I was just gonna say, one of my other favorite parts is, I was telling him, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was telling him, I was like, man, this trailer is only like really missing like one thing for me. And people dissected the trailer and found it. And if there's one thing that I love more than Godzilla, it's Mechagodzilla.
I saw
and
that.
They found him in the trailer. And I was like, at the end of King of Monsters, I was like, dude, I was hoping for fucking Mechagodzilla. I was like, that is the checkpoint, like the check, humans check, like mate for Godzilla is Mechagodzilla. And they showed the screen where it shows like the fucking Pacific Rim, like Jaeger, like schematic shit for Godzilla, Mechagodzilla. And then the background in one of the city scenes, they like froze frame. You can see like the under chin part of like Mechagodzilla as he's like coming up. And I was like, yes, yes. Get him in there.
Well, and I think that's going to be your twist. Both of them need to take down a rogue Mechagodzilla. That's going to be the, that'll be the actual like thing that happens here. But I think it's stunning looking. Like the action looks crazy. Godzilla looks awesome. King Kong looks awesome. They gave King Kong like freaking Stormbreaker from the Marvel Cinematic Universe apparently, and like. They even have he does like the Ragnarok leap at the end of it. It's like all this, all that was missing was like as he's jumping towards Godzilla.
He like hits Godzilla in the chest with it, and he leans in. He's like, should have aimed for the head, and then like bites him in the neck, like kills him.
I am here for all of this. Yes, give me all of these. But no, I'm super stoked. It drops March 26th. HBO Max. I will be watching it. I'm really bummed that, you know, I'm not going to be seeing this in movie theater because monster movies and movie theaters go hand in hand. But I'm not taking my life into my hands to go see Godzilla, no matter how hyped I am. So
are you going to let both your son and daughter watch it, or is this just you and your son?
I don't even know if I'll let him watch it. I'll probably watch it.
Oh, no.
Now, the thing is, I will watch it first and see if it's too rough, I'm not going to do it. Like, I mean, he's watched Jurassic World and, like, Jurassic Park and stuff. So it's not that, like, he's too sheltered from this type of stuff. But, like, he hasn't seen King of the Monsters because there's sometimes it just gets real too intense. And I don't want to deal with nightmares for the next 6 months, you know, type thing. So I'll watch it first. I'm hoping it's more Skull Island than King of the Monsters. If it's just like big, dumb, stupid action for 2 hours, then yeah, I don't care. That's fine. Like it's just big, fanciful nothingness. Rad. But if it goes into a lot of emotional pathos and, you know, torturous pain and things like that, we'll probably wait a few years for that. But regardless, I expect to be buying toys for him because, good lord, Godzilla and King Kong hype level. I'm sorry, Kong, not King Kong. Kong, hype levels very high. Yeah, that fucking killed me when he was like, "There's only one king, and it's the King of the Monsters." It's like, wow. All right, kid.
Drew that line in the cement. It's set,
dude. Like, so to answer your earlier question, Shannon. My son is pro Godzilla. That is his. that is who he threw his lot in with. Is Godzilla.
Smart choice.
but yeah, I'm super hyped. We should do like a spoiler cast for that after it drops. That'd be fun. All right. So I guess that's all I got to. Oh, the. Last thing, it's not on the outline, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. Did you see Activision took Vicarious Visions, who made Tony Hawk Skater, Pro Skater 1 and 2, the best remake ever made, and folded them into Blizzard? That studio doesn't exist anymore. It's now a part of Blizzard. That really bummed me out. Like, really bummed me out. I mean, maybe we'll get some sick grinding in Diablo 4 now, but
That's dumb. Here's your reward for doing a really great job on a really cool game that everybody loved and had a very important, you know, what was very important in creating a lot of people's important core memories for video games, and you just gave them to Blizzard.
They're like, sucks. Hey guys, now that we've acquired you, you're like, funding, not a problem. In the 2021, though, can't guarantee you're going to have jobs. We're going to lay off your entire department.
Well, no, I think it more speaks to, hey, you know, who do we have on our roster that makes really good things? Because I got to tell you, this Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 looks like a bucket of shit right now. Hey, Vicarious Visions makes good things. Hey, can you guys come fix this? Because, whew, boy, wow, something happened. I don't know. it's you know, it's the guy in the hot dog suit going, we're all trying to figure out who did this. You know, like, it's that meme. Like, oh, man.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. I was really hoping we'd get more Tony Hawks, but...
Yeah, that's basically what it means, is enjoy what you got, because he ain't getting more.
Oh, I will, Shannon. I will. You don't have to worry about me.
Hey, I don't know if it's one thing Blizzard knows how to do. It's make expansions for their properties.
Yes, milk those, milk every last dollar out of your constituents.
Yeah, Tony Hawk Pro Skater is now just an Overwatch expansion.
I was going to say, they're just going to have new skins, and it's going to be like everything from World of Warcraft you could just skateboard with.
Yeah. All the Overwatch characters are gathered around, and then Bam Margera comes out.
Okay, I would actually play Overwatch again if that happened. I'd be back in. Okay, so should we talk about what we have been playing?
Sure.
Or should we do that at the end and do WandaVision now?
I don't know. Justin's in a spoiler mood. Why don't you fucking ruin WandaVision for a whole bunch of people, too?
Oh, okay. I'd be glad to, Shannon.
Yeah, I mean do you want to do that now, Shannon? Or do you want to...
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Okay. Before we get into this, I think for our Discord channel, I think it would be good if we had like a spoilers category so we could go get some meat on that bone if somebody wants to do something. You know, regarding WandaVision.
Okay, I'll add that. That's a good call. I can do that. You know what? Let's put it at the end. You can cut this. Sorry, but let's put this at the end, just because if we do get spoilery, I don't want people to like, you know, mess up.
Well, yeah, I want to get a little bit spoiler, like with some theories going here.
Yeah. I've done a lot of wiki digging to verify that my memories were correct about a lot of things. So, okay. So let's do the weekly consultation. Like I said earlier, I beat Bugsnax this week. That was my big thing. That ending, still fucking weird. I know it's only been like 40 minutes since I said it, but that ending's still really fucking weird. Awesome, though. Like, ton of fun. I don't want to go too spoilerly with it, but things happened in the ending that I can replay, and they can play out differently. So I might do that just to see how much it changes. I see you looking like, what happened? But I can text you later, Justin.
Yeah, just make sure it's the right thread.
And just Justin. Good Lord. Like a little child.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to get a Christmas card this year from Shannon because I fucked up bug snacks for him.
You're going to get a lump of coal. I was actually going to send you a bag of gummy dicks, but you probably would have enjoyed eating that too much.
I mean, gummies are gummies, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even chew them. I just swallow them whole.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Oh, the other, just, I'm bypassing this. The other thing I heard, Justin, you know what came out on Game Pass that you had talked about earlier that I played was Carto.
Oh, yeah, what'd you think?
That's pretty cool. It's a cool little mechanic. I dig the whole thing, how the map pieces, you know, rearrange, and you do need to get them in specific spots or specific orders to like unlock things. That took a little while to figure out.
Yeah.
It was the it wasn't the find the sheep in the middle of the flowers. I thought that was pretty self-explanatory. I was like, oh, okay, rearrange the four pieces that have flowers around an empty middle, and look, a new piece, yay! And then, like, fast forward 20 minutes where it's like, oh, follow the curved road down to find this guy. And then it was like, okay, I don't have any more pieces. I only have two pieces of the map that have a curved road, and I'm standing on one. Okay, I guess I'll just link it to this. Nope, nothing popped up. What if I link that other piece back? Nope, nothing popped up. And it's one of those, like, you have to do it too much. You know what I mean? Like, it's like two moves too many. So you just sit there thinking, like, I'm messing up. I'm missing something. What am I missing? I can't figure this out. And then, yeah, I just had to stick with it and it unlocked. But it was one of those, like, it has that thing where it makes you feel very clever when you figure out the puzzle.
Yeah, there's like multiple parts I experienced that game where I got stuck. Like, there's a part where you're in this library with multiple floors and you're basically rearranging the floors and stuff to like get access to different floors. Like, and it's one of those where it's like you'll be stumped on something for like a couple minutes and you're like, I'm sure it's so easy. And once I figure it out, I'm going to feel fucking stupid for being stuck on this for so long. And then it's like, once you figure it out, though, you're like, oh my god, yes. Like, when you finally get a new piece, you're like, yes, you're like, I can do something with this. But, like, the art style is really cute. Like, I like the... It was actually on... It was, like, I think number, like, 8 or something on my Game of the Year list originally. Mm. And then, like, Bugsnax and other stuff kind of ended up bumping it off. Because that... I did think... the uniqueness of the rearranging of like the map, and it's just, it's so seamless too, like how it works, like it's really fast and like how it's not like laggy like when you do it and stuff and everything connects. It's a pretty cute game.
Yeah, super cute and real, you know, fun art style, but like you were saying, it's really the mechanic that pulls you through. And I mean, it's not all that deep of a game in any level, but it's a really fun, they basically figured out a way to make slide puzzles kind of fun, and those are usually like things I hate, so I thought it's unique in that regard. I'm not sure how much more I'm gonna play it, because it seems like it's just more of that, but, and there isn't really like a story that's grabbing me other than, you know, find more map pieces, but
get back to grandma.
Yeah, get back to grandma. That's all really I've been playing. Shannon, what you got?
So I played some Monster Train, some more. I got a lot farther with the red and green deck. Oh, like I got to the last boss, and then he just wrecked me. So I'm enjoying that one. That's a pretty fun game. I took one of the games that Justin actually played not too long ago, Monster Sanctuary on the Switch.
Oh, yeah, that, like, Pokemon one, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of got, like, a 16-bit kind of side-scrolling Pokemon-esque type feature. I'm probably about 5 hours into that game right now, maybe a little bit more. I've unlocked, most of the areas that you're going to have to go, and I can see, like, I have some quests to go get, like, a Dodo egg and a whole bunch of other things. The one thing I will say I like about the game is it's pretty forgiving as far as battles go. Like, at the end of every battle, like Justin was saying, everything gets replenished, so you're not wasting a lot of time healing your monsters between battles. So that's cool. I do feel that there are a lot of battles, and they do take a long time. Just because the animations and you're trying to choose like which abilities are going to be the most effective against the monsters you're fighting. I feel the rating system for the fighting is a little, it's not it's clear as to how you get like a good 5-star rating on the battles. Like, I've done like 100 battles already, and maybe the highest rating I've gotten is 4 stars. And I don't know if it's just because my level's too low to where I can't effectively kill these guys fast enough, or, you know, I'm not doing something in the right order, because they really do want you to pay attention to how you attack. So, like, they want your buffs to happen first. Then they want your low attacking characters to hit next. And then, you know, you save your stronger enemy or your stronger characters to attack last, because they'll have the strongest attack buff percentage based off of how many combo hits you get. So, like, on the surface, it seems like a pretty basic and simple game, but I've found myself getting pretty frustrated, stumbling into the wrong areas and then having to find my way back out. And usually that means I have to fight my way out if I don't have a crystal that lets me go back to the town. I am enjoying this game. Like, when you go to the areas that you're supposed to go, the game is fun. And you can navigate around the battles that you don't want to fight. But the hub, like, area, like your sanctuary itself, is, I feel, a little too big. It gets a little annoying trying to traverse everywhere that you want to go when you're trying to restock on your potions and get your new weapons. Then you got to go to the blacksmith, who's all the way on the opposite side of where everything is you just bought. And then you power up your stuff there. And then you have to go all the way to the top of the castle to, like, fight the bosses that you have already conquered to see if you can get better scores, which means you get better items. You know, it's just, it seems a little disorganized there. But overall, for the price of the game, like, it's a good, solid monster collection battling game. I
gotta tell you, all that slog though you're talking about right now really is talking me out of the game.
You know,
I hate all that stuff. Like, it's just one of those, like, oh man, I've got to go back through all this crap and fight all these dudes again. Ugh, no.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, they have warp crystals where, like, you can, in each sanctuary area, there's a warp crystal. So, like, my goal when I get there is just to run around until I find the warp crystal and then go back and find the treasure chests and attack things that I want. But not today, but I want to say about 2 days ago, there was a moment where I was just like, you know what, F this game, I'm gonna put it down and then I'll come back to it in a couple days. Because it doesn't really hold your hand. It doesn't tell you where to go. There's no marker indicators. Like, you're just exploring. And then if you happen to stumble across the area you're supposed to go, you're like, cool, like, let's knock this out real quick. But yeah, it's just, you can get lost very easily. And it can be frustrating. I'll see. It'll be interesting to see how long I stick with it, but it's a good choice. And, you know, I would also recommend at least, you know, trying the game. Like, if you can find it for cheap, it might be something that you know, people of our podcasts that listen to it might like.
I think it's on Game Pass. Let me check real quick.
I think it is. I think I remember seeing it on the advertisement. But yeah, it's a good game. Other than that, like, I figured if Justin was right about Monster Sanctuary, you know, and I'm getting back into card battling games, I also did buy the Yu-Gi-Oh! Game for the Switch as well. So
just real quick, Monster Sanctuary is on Game Pass. So
nice. So yeah, so I'm gonna give that a try, I think, in a little bit too, but I haven't started playing it yet. Any pointers, Justin?
Look at Justin just light up.
I know. I'm like, Shannon was, like, telling me what a piece of shit I was earlier, but then here he is playing all these games I recommended.
I'm like a Sour Patch Kid. First I'm sour, then I'm sweet.
I was like, have you watched any of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime? Like, I mean, I'm assuming, back in the day,
in the original, like, story arc, I think I watched the whole series. But, like, once they started getting into, like, the other iterations of the show, like, I was pretty much out. But, like, I mean, I forget what the mummy, like, the big mummy, like, five card character was in the series. I mean, I basically watched that whole run, and, like, I was pretty happy with it. That was, like, right around my senior year in high school.
Because, yeah, I was like, I mean, the game goes through pretty much, like, all the story, like, just the story mode or whatever. You go through, like, all the story beats from, like, the different animes and stuff. And you can use, that's what's cool, is you can use either the story decks. Like, you could use, like, Yugi's deck, like, whatever, against Kaiba, like, in that scene from, like, the anime and stuff. Or you can use your own user deck and stuff, which I haven't done anything with the story decks. I'm just going through, just trying to beat, like, all the story mode stuff. But just sit there, get your points, and then go to the card shop and stuff and just buy a bunch of cards. And, like, certain people give away, like, certain cards. I had to pull up, like, a website that was like, oh, this is what this person, like, offers and, like, what you could potentially get and stuff. Because, like, certain, like, oh, I want to build this type of deck. So I had to find, like, who gives away these types of cards to then, like, invest my points in and stuff. But
nice. All right. Well, I'll give that a try. And then I did buy, or not buy, but because it's a free-to-play game, but Path of Exile was a game that is on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like
very much Diablo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is Diablo. But the one thing I did not like about the game is you feel too close. You know, maybe it's just I've been playing Diablo for so long, I'm used to having that far off, like, you know, way up view. This one, you kind of feel like you're hovering, you know, not too far away, but, you know, just enough to be too close. And then, you know, it's something about it just feels a little bit off. I know what they're trying to be, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like they hit the nail on the head exactly with trying to be a Diablo clone. It's hard to tell when you're getting hit. It's hard to tell when your potions are working. I'm glad it's free to play, so I don't feel like I wasted, you know, the only thing I invested in it was time. It just makes me miss Diablo. Like, I just really want another solid Diablo game. You know,
That was my reaction to Hades. I love Hades. Hades is great. And it's very different from Diablo. But after playing, 80 hours of Hades, I was just like, man, I hope Diablo 4 is good. I really want Diablo 4 to be good.
Yeah, I want that so bad. Like, Torchlight didn't do it for me. Path of Exile didn't do it for me. I just miss me some Diablo.
I'm with you.
Justin, what'd you play this week?
Well, I was like, here, real quick, I just wanted to say that I thought it's crazy because, like, you know, Path of Exile's been around for fucking ever. Like, I played Path of Exile back in, like, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And I remember seeing, like, that when it was on PS4 and stuff, I was like, oh, Path of Exile, and looking at it, and it's like, since I had last played it, dude, they did, like, a complete graphic overhaul. Like, I was like, when I played it, dude, most shit looked like fucking RuneScape. Like, it was, like, rough looking. Like, no one was, like, really talking about Path of Exile. I was like, dude, this looks like a legit game now.
Oh, like, it's breathtaking. Wild. Like, the waves crashing on the shore, like, the beachscape, like, I mean, I've only gotten to around the beach, but, like, the waves are amazing. Like, the water techniques, the fire, like, the lightning, all, like, the elemental effects in the game are banging. Like, the enemies look cool. You know, it's just something about it just feels off. And, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing, is just, it's something with the controls. Something just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't know, because I'm playing with a mouse and keyboard, if I should be playing with a controller. I don't know. I'm going to give it a little bit more time, but I think it's probably going to find its way into the trash bin pretty soon.
For me, I mean, this week I played a little more Dicey Dungeon and stuff just because it's quick, fun. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've been going through trying to knock out more episodes. But the big thing I played this week was, as soon as I heard the demo for Resident Evil 8 was out, downloaded that shit.
Yeah,
I played it. Yeah, I did. And the demo is only like 15 minutes long. I mean, if you like know what you're doing, you can blow through it like pretty quick. If you're like walking around, kind of taking your time, looking like kind of at everything and like exploring every room pretty thoroughly and stuff, it'd probably take you maybe like half an hour tops. Mm-hmm. But it was very fun, like, very much, like I said earlier, it reminds me a lot, like, being in the castle and stuff, different, because it's very similar to 7, but in 7, everything's, like, so dirty, and, like, disgusting. Yeah. And it's like, there is grosser, like, I mean, some, like, kind of, like, gross stuff, you know, like, in it, but it's like the castle's a lot nicer, so it's like very much like reminds me of the mansion in like Resident Evil 1 and stuff, where it's like you're kind of going upstairs, downstairs. Like, it has a lot of, I feel like, a lot of inspiration from 1 and stuff in terms of like the puzzles and stuff. Like, you know, you get the, you get this ring that has like this eye in it, and there's a statue with the one missing eye, and you can't go into it, so then you're like, oh, well, easy, I put the ring in the thing to open it, and it's like, oh, it doesn't work like that, whatever. So then you have to actually like go into your inventory, inspect the ring, and then basically break the fucking ring to get the jewel out of the ring and then put into the, so it's like, all right, I see, yeah, that's very Resident Evil. And then it opens and goes in, and you're like looking it, like, pick up stuff to, like, look in stuff to then find, like, a key or something like that, you know, additional stuff that's, like, hidden within stuff. And you do, you encounter the witch, like, one of, well, and see, that's the thing, like, everyone's kind of saying they're vampires, or, but I think you're kind of more right in the fact that I think they're kind of, like, witches. Like, I kind of get, like, a Paranormal Activity kind of vibe from it. Like, they eat blood, like, and that's one of the big things, is as you're walking through, there's, like, notes and stuff, and Beryl is talking, like, the kind of story lore that they're giving you is about, like, how they're kind of known for, like, making this wine and whatever, and it's, like, basically alluded to that, like, the wine is, like, the secret ingredient in the wine is blood, and you go kind of through the dungeons and stuff, there's, like, a lot of medieval torture devices and, like, gimp suit looking shit with, like, where they obviously murdered people and stuff and drained them.
Shannon's back in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I heard gimp.
Well, I mean, I just want to get in the outfit. I mean, that's what you heard. I heard gimp outfit, and I was just like, oh, yes. Okay.
And so you're like walking through, and it's like very, you hear like voices and footsteps and stuff to kind of fuck with you. And you get to the point where it's like you get the key that you need to go to, and then the one, like, I'm assuming it's, like, one, like, the sister chicks, whatever, she shows up. You see her in the trailer with the blood all over her face and stuff, but she, like, comes out, like, she's made of, I don't even fucking know, it's, like, mosquitoes or, like, bugs, or she becomes, like, almost like Dracula for bats, but it's, like, bugs and shit. Like, she swarms in, and she's, like, chasing, she has, like, a Children of the Corn fucking scythe thing that she's trying to swing at you, and she bites at you and stuff, and so you're, like, running away from her. And then when you run into, like, the one room, you use the key to unlock the door. And that's when a 7-foot big tall mama comes and then, like, grabs you by the face and was like, oh, I was expecting you. And then does the Freddy Krueger hand. And that's, like, where, like, the trailer ends or the demo ends or whatever. But it was really fun. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of, it's like they took Resident Evil 7 and then combined it with kind of, like, the atmosphere and a lot of elements from 1, and then took kind of, like, the layers of fear. And, like, even there were some moments that reminded me a lot of PT. And I feel like a lot of people have tried to do what PT has done. And I don't think, you know, it doesn't, obviously it doesn't exceed what PT, like, did or whatever, but it came close. There was moments playing the demo where I felt anxious like I did when playing 7, so I that made me, like, really excited for the game, because I'm like, all right, it still has it, baby. Like, you know, this, like, existential dread, like, walking through the house, and so the atmosphere and stuff is still there, so
awesome.
I'm hyped for it.
Well, I'm seething with jealousy, but yes, I'm glad you enjoyed it. So, okay, why don't we go ahead and say, spoiler warning, because from here on out, we're going to talk WandaVision, the first three episodes, and just know that we are going to talk about them in detail, and we are going to be throwing theories around here. So just be warned. If you're going to keep listening, I hope you watched it. And if not, don't blame me anymore. It's your fault, not mine. So, gentlemen, WandaVision. We've gotten three episodes. We're up to the 70s sitcom era, apparently. Your thoughts? What do you think?
Okay, so the first two episodes, were good. Don't get me wrong. I really like the, you know, homage to, you know, the Leave It to Beavers and the Isle of Lucy's and the I Dream of Jeannie, like, aspects of it. But I'm glad they are moving up into the more modern, like, color and, you know, progressing the story along. Mm-hmm. It seems like the first two episodes are really slow. Like, to me, like, they felt like they went on a long time, but they got a lot accomplished. You know, like, they made you, they, you know, they gave you the whimsy, they gave you the wonder, they gave you a little bit of, like, you know, they snapped that everything is peachy keen, and, like, you know, they give you a little taste of something being amiss. Mm-hmm. And they kind of start feeding that that thread to you that they want you to follow.
Have you seen Legion? Did you watch Legion?
I watched, like, the first maybe, like, episode or two of Legion, but I never went deeper than that.
Okay, so WandaVision strikes me as Disney's Legion. Like, it's nowhere near as dark as Legion is so far, and nowhere near as intense, but very similar in that you're riding along for most of the show going, I don't know what the fuck is happening here. But then something happens that, like, all of a sudden the reaction is just like, you go from, I don't know what's happening here, but this is interesting, to, oh, that's not good. What? Oh, I don't know what's happening and I don't like it. Ooh. And WandaVision does that also very, very well. Like, in the first episode when the boss is choking and the wife just starts going, stop it, stop it, stop. And it's just like,
she's like laughing and stuff. Yeah. And it's like,
and she's like laughing, but, like, her face is distressed while she's laughing and saying it. And Vision's just, like, stonewalled, looking straight ahead the whole time. And he's just, like, dying on the ground. It's like one of those. And then finally she's like, Vision, go help him. And he, like, does. And it's fine. Everything works out perfect. And it's just like, okay, that was, like, crazy super disturbing in the middle of this, like, you know, Bewitched episode, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, things like that. And that was the moment where I was like, ooh, this is big Legion vibes. You know, like, this is what that is.
Yeah, and I mean, even then, like, it does a good job of making you feel uncomfortable, because, like, it's pushing that boundary of, like, okay, I know something's wrong, but this person's ignoring it. This person's, you know, it's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, something's not right, and it makes me feel weird, and I don't like it. But, like, the whole, like, even with the most recent one, like, I mean, she basically has the kids in a day, right? Like, yeah. I mean, she goes from being, like, just basically conceiving them to, like, being, like, full, like, let's do this thing, to in just, like, one whole episode. Like, every time you see her, she's bigger.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to see the theories that you guys were talking about last week. Like, become more prevalent themes, especially with the most recent episode. Like, there's definitely, you're starting to see more and more of, like, the flaws in the in the setting. But Justin, what did you think?
So I just want to say that I have seen Legion. Season one of Legion, if you have not watched it, is fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
it was one of the best. I didn't watch season two because I kind of heard it got, like, really confusing and kind of fell on its face a little
bit. Season two needed more. Like, yeah. It needed the season after to explain what the hell you just saw, and you're never getting that. So,
yeah. You know. So I left it at one, and I'm like, you know, I'm glad ending with the one season and it being great and not watching the downfall of it. So,
it's funny because if Legion hadn't happened, the villain of Legion would have been my guess for what was happening in WandaVision. Like, that totally would have been who I would have thought was the villain here. But because they used it in Legion, I'm like, well, they're not going to do that in WandaVision. You know, this isn't how that works. But yeah, anyway.
But yeah, so far I thought it's very interesting. I love the whole Leave It to Beaver and, like, Pleasantville sort of, like, vibe to it. But, like, something's amiss. like you said, in episode one, the scene where the boss is choking and you have the mom from That 70s Show saying, yeah, stop it. And she's like, and like, Vision's just kind of like eating and she like telepathically talks and she's like, dude, fucking save him. Like, please. Yeah. And they just get up like everything's normal and leave afterwards. And it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah. So episode two, I did like drunk Vision.
The magic routine and stuff was very funny, and that was one of the other parts, because episode two was when the dude like out of the sewer comes out and like the fucking, I think that's the like beekeeper. The first time we really see the beekeeper, and she's just in like, nope, and then just time just like goes back like it never happened. I think that's one of the first times we've seen her like really like manipulate time like that, so I was like, all right.
And then it happens, and then it happens again in episode three when Vision sits on the couch and he's like, something's really wrong here. And she's like, yeah, no, not really. Yeah. So anyway, moving on, you know, and it was just, but I think, okay, let's get into theories.
Yes.
Because those things show you that Wanda is in control of this scenario. Like this is her.
More or less.
Yeah. So Justin, lay on me your big theory here.
All right. So
what's your number one theory?
So I went press. So originally, my original theory, of course, was more around the. I thought, since it's more circulating around like House of M, I figured it was either Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D. were basically like holding her like captive, like away from whatever in her own thing, and so she like. To prevent herself from like going crazy, whatever, kind of like made her own world to kind of escape into, as not only to protect themselves, but to kind of protect her from like hurting anybody too. And I kind of figured that all of this was fake, like that everything was just her manifestation of reality. But in episode three, at the end, she actually throws somebody out of the town, like into the outside, like present day real world, which shows me that the people in there are alive. So they're either A, actors that are like, are just like a part of this, or B, they're just people that are having to play this role because they're fucking terrified of Wanda. So they're like being forced into like,
yeah, or they're like literally trapped in, they were residents of that town that are now trapped. Yeah,
yes. And it was very like the vibes too I get a lot from it is the like Twilight Zone episode, the kid who would send people to the cornfield,
yeah,
like when he'd change them and they're like, wish him away, Billy, wish him away, and then he'd like wish him away and everyone's just playing along with whatever the fuck he wants because otherwise he'll just wreck you. So that's kind of like the vibe that I have like been getting. The part where I'm kind of like hung up a lot is with Vision, because I feel like initially I figured Vision's dead and that she's just making Vision exist, but he has interactions with people and like outside of her, like where they're not together. And there's like certain things where it's like him like kind of starting to figure stuff out makes me think that he's real. But in the time period, it obviously takes place after, like, Infinity War or whatever. It's not, like, the in-between, like, you know, Age of Ultron and, like, whatever. So, it's, like, I don't know if, like, she brought him back, like, from the dead. Or if he really is just a manifestation, but somehow he's becoming self-aware.
Yeah.
So, and, so, like, the...
Okay,
I was just gonna say, and then, like, my third thing is... The other part that's kind of got me hung is there's commercials in between, like, where it's Hydra and Stark and stuff that, like, would have existed in this time period that she was never, like, a part of. So I'm almost thinking, like, you know, she was experimented on by, you know, Hydra and Strucker, and Stark, you know, murdered her fucking fam, Stark in weapons and stuff. So I'm almost thinking a lot of that is just, like, her mind, like, filling in the blanks, kind of, like, explaining her history, like, in commercials and just kind of filling in voids for the period and stuff like that.
Well, so, my first thing, when I saw that they brought the twins in, in episode three. My first thing was the original comic book storyline that had the twins in it. And Mephisto plays a big part in all that. And if you don't know Mephisto, he's essentially the devil in Marvel comics. Like, he's literally Satan, a demon, whatever. But if you do that, there's a lot of pieces that start to fall into place. Like, Agnes, the neighbor, that's not a far leap to go to Agatha Harkness, who's like this, you know, 1,000-year-old witch in Marvel that was Scarlet Witch's like mentor for a long time, played a large role in the Mephisto thing. The kids have pieces of Mephisto's soul that like make them real, you know, type thing. And Mephisto in the comics manifests as animals a lot. And you have the stork that like couldn't be controlled, and Mr. Scratch, or Senor Scratchy, the rabbit in the second episode, and Scratch being another, you know, Mr. Scratch being another term for the devil, old timey term, but one nonetheless, makes me think maybe they're going that route. And this is a way you start to introduce Mephisto into the whole thing. My problem with that is she seems in control of the whole thing. And you have Sword, but Sword is the outer space arm of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics. But that's, you know, you have the sword icon on the helicopter. The beekeeper had a sword thing on his back. She had the Genevieve had the sword necklace. So I'm guessing Sword is the group here that's on the outside watching all this. Maybe the ones trying to contact her.
Because so, that's kind of what I felt was like. At first, I thought like, okay, maybe they were keeping her in, but it's kind of obvious she's keeping them out. And I think they're trying to infiltrate in to kind of see what is going on inside of this place.
And it might be one of those things like maybe there's something happening that they need her. And like, they were fine letting her just build out this fantasy world. But now like, okay, playtime's over. We need to get you out. We need you. And, you know, I think that's all going to reveal itself. But I'm curious if they go as super comic book nerdy as to bring the Mephisto route in. That would be really cool, but really weird for the MCU. You know, like it's dumb shit that exists in the comic books for generations. But like the movies haven't gone that fantastical. You know, like even as crazy as the movies get, all of it's based in some sort of reality. We're not dealing with, you know, literal deep. Well, I guess Dormammu shows up, but I mean, he even gets presented as more like of a multidimensional being, not a demon, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, even then you have Doctor Strange, like just kind of sitting in the wings. So, I mean, like everything can always be explained away with Doctor Strange.
Exactly. There's a multiverse thing. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But you know, it says a lot to kind of show that when Wanda's not around, things go haywire. Like, you know, the neighbor cutting through the wall. Like, you know, she wasn't there. You know, usually when most of the people are coming to their senses, and you know, that's the other thing too, is that guy, he was blissfully ignorant when Wanda was around, but like the minute Wanda's gone or she's consumed with, you know, the delivery of the children,
yeah,
like he has enough wherewithal to be like, hey, like let me tell you what's really happening here. And then, you know, Agnes has to come and be like, shut up, like don't say anything, like keep your mouth shut. And that's when Vision kind of has that, like, you know, first kind of taste of something's not right here. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I think it's more, you know, this, she found a spot that, you know, didn't have a lot of people, small country living, and took it over. And, you know, military.
And I think she's playing out probably the TV shows she watched while she was
a
captive of Hydra.
Sure.
You know,
for
like,
sure. Yeah.
Just watching out those sitcoms.
That makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, there's military people that are just kind of sneaking their way into this, I guess, time loop warp, like, wormhole that she's created. And because, I mean, it kind of, why else would she be so broadsided by this lady asking questions about her brother? You know, I feel like there are some ways that people can get in there and infiltrate what's going on without her really being aware of it. So I don't really have any theories because, you know, I've never really read the comic books. But, I mean, I do remember there being a White Vision after the other one. So maybe, you know, he's being rebuilt and this is, you know, maybe she was tasked with, you know, kind of rebuilding his subconscious or rebuilding like the memories that he had. And this is how she's doing it. And she's maybe taking some liberties with the, you know, with the source material.
Yeah, the project got away from her a little bit. Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they go. I mean, I think I would, for most comic book people out there, I don't know if they would be, excited to see the comic books play out or if they would want some new material in this universe.
I think it's interesting that they involved the twins.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, cause that's a very specific which ends in the House of M storyline. Like that's where that ends and House of M gets buck wild.
That's the other thing too, is like, aren't they kind of combining two different storylines? So like, isn't there like the Scarlet Witch's story? And then there's like, didn't Vision have a storyline in Marvel where he had like Mrs. Vision and like, and kids that were created or whatever, like
the 2016 Vision comic run was. Yeah. And then there's, it's kind of like smashing that storyline together with like the original Scarlet Witch and Vision moving to the suburbs in the 70s storyline that they trotted out there, you know? So, mm-hmm.
And that Vision story from what I remember got dark.
Yeah.
Either way, we're in for one hell of a ride.
It's been a hell of a ride so far. I was really bummed that only one episode came out this week. If they would have rolled out two, I would have watched two, no problem.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, right? Like, you put all these episodes out, like, people are just going to mainline that.
I would have watched the whole season if it was out, like, in one sitting. 100%.
But yeah, I would have had it all done last weekend.
Yeah. I would have been up till 4 a.m. on Saturday, but I still would have watched it all because I'm that kind of idiot. But yeah.
Hey, we play hurt.
We do. I'm excited to talk about next week's episode with you, gentlemen.
Oh yes.
Well, all right. I think that is a show for now. We'll see how our theories play out next week. We'll see if we can unwrap more of this mystery. And Justin. Why don't you go ahead and take us out if you're done yawning? I know it's late. I'm sorry, but if you could pull it together for the next minute here to take us out.
All right. You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another.
If you're not watching the video feed to see him do that every week, it's worth it. It's just that sexy lean in every time. It's just so good.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. If you've stuck around this long for the WandaVision spoilers, thank you. If you bailed out earlier because you didn't want it spoiled, get your ass caught up on it. It's super great. And if you know, you can check out season 1 of Legion while you're at it too, because that show is also fantastic. And if you would like, you can go to iTunes, give us a review if you want, let us know what you think, how we're doing, if what you want to hear or see more of, and you can listen to us on Spotify and iTunes. Yes, Shannon.
Don't forget, we just got added to Pandora.
That's right.
We're climbing those ranks. We're now on the podcast on Pandora.
That's right. So if you listen to Pandora, you can go on to Pandora and listen to us there now, too. Did you know Pandora has a premium?
They all do, Justin. They all do.
And if Robbie was here, though, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey, guys, go be great.
And don't spoil shit, Justin.
You know what? I'm sorry. All right.